What up, everybody? Welcome to the Top Podcast First Detroit Lions Focused episode. I'm your host, Rob, and we're here just to kick it and kind of talk about the Lions season. This is my first time doing a solo pod type thing, so if you enjoyed it, be sure to leave it down in the comments. I was planning on just doing this preseason kind of just throw information at you review, but if you guys want more week-to-week stuff, let me know, or just, you know, monthly things. Probably won't be a main episode like this one, but just let me know, and we'll see what can happen. Sorry to all of our toppers that aren't sports fans, if I can at least ask a favor for you guys, before you click off this video, just mute the video, let it play on the background, let YouTube give us feed us some algorithms, even though this isn't really your thing, but I hope you stay. First and foremost, we should get started off with, who is this podcast for? Now, if you're someone that is, you know, just eating up all Lions content, and is watching every game, listening to every podcast, reading every news article, this podcast is not for you. This one's just going to be for the casual fans that may catch a game here and there. I'm just trying to give you guys something to talk about. Maybe you're at a gathering or something. I'm going to try to make you guys sound smart and know what you're talking about, at least for the preseason, as the season goes on and shapes and molds and morphs into whatever happens. Like last year, everything I would have said about defense would have thrown out the window because there was like three starters at the end of the year that was still playing at, you know, every game. But yeah, so this is just hopefully get you guys ready for the season that's going to be starting this upcoming Sunday on September 7th. It's the Lions' first game. I believe it's at 3:15 against the Packers. We're going to start off with who I think was the biggest addition for the Lions offseason, and I'm going to go with non-rookies because we got a whole different category for offensive, defensive rookies and everything. So I think it's not even a hot take or a hot pick, but obviously, the cornerback DJ Reed signed him for 3 years, $48 million. This is a great signing because we lost Carlson Davis III. I think he went to the Patriots this offseason. And honestly, I think DJ Reed just is a little bit better. They're pretty comparable in some things, but I think if we go by PFF, if I remember correctly, he had better stats and everything. And he ended up being not as expensive as Carlton actually ended up getting. So I just think out of all the signings this year, that is our best thing. He was a top corner, and I am so excited to have him. Obviously, when we talk about our biggest losses, everyone, national media and everything, is going to talk about that we lost both of our coordinators. And I'm going to say that, you know, they're proven coordinators. Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson, each going to the respective teams of the Jets and the Bears. That is a big blow. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I don't think it's as bad as the national media is portraying and saying. But when you lose two OCs, that are two coordinators, not OC and DC, that is going to be it's going to be a hit. It's going to take some adjustment time. I also think for a player losing guard Kevin Zeitler, I think he went to the Giants or something. He went somewhere, got paid. He was only here for 1 year. And if I could add, it's not a loss, but actually Frank Ragnow would be my pick. The center, he was an All-Pro center, and you just. Graham Glasgow is a fantastic backup center, and he'll do well. I think he'll be top half of centers, but when you have arguably the best center, and you know, even if you don't want to say he was the best center in the league, he was top two, top three, that's going to be hard to replace no matter what. So that was actually the biggest loss. I kind of wrote this. It would have been after that, but those are the biggest losses. Again, that wasn't that he went to another team, it's just they retired, but the O-line is what has really got this offense and made it a historic offense last year. So there's definitely some worry to be had for the new offensive positions and everything. We got a new left guard and right guard. Graham Glasgow stepping in for the center, which I feel kind of bad because he came to Detroit to play right guard, and we've kind of just shuffled him around, but he was the best man for the job. So thank you, Graham, for your service there. Now, as I said, the offensive line is what really gets this Detroit Lions offense going. So the rookie I am most excited to see the most is Tate Mulletman Ratledge. There's a lot of hype, especially preseason, about Isaac Tislaw. He has been popping off, and I love that he is, you know, homegrown. He's from the Detroit area, went to the Hillsdale before he went to the somewhere else, I believe to Arkansas. And a lot of people are excited about that, and he's like moving up. I think he's wide receiver 3 or 4. Some people say 3. Some people say Khalif Raymond's 3. So either way, he's going to be doing a lot more this season than I think we all expected when we drafted him in the 3rd round. But as I said, everything here, Dan Campbell has said, everything goes through the offensive line. And our 2nd round pick, Tate Ratledge, he just looks like a dog, man. He's like saying he's violent. He just wants to go over there, you know, push people around. It's going to be fantastic. I'd like to see him potentially practice more at center because Graham, I think, has one more year in his contract after this, and pretty much we can get out of the contract this after this season pretty free of any caps hits or anything like that. So just in case that, you know, we need someone else, I would like to see Ratledge potentially keep on training at center. And I believe Brad Holmes, the GM of the Detroit Lions, has said that they're still training him there, but for the most part, he's going to be staying at our right guard, which is where he was drafted and played in college. So that is what I am excited about. And his development can have long-reaching consequences, good or bad. So it's going to be pretty big to see how he ends up. Next up on defense, it's going to be a hot take, but I'm excited to see our first round pick, Tyleek Williams. I know. You picked the first and second round rookies as your favorite ones to see. Very bold. What a hot take for me to have. And really going out on a limb there. But, I mean, just I can't wait to see him, DJ Reader. Not DJ Reed, who we signed. DJ Reader is also a nose tackle, I believe. And then Aleem McNeil, who is a defensive tackle. And once those three guys are on the field on paper, they're just going to be feasting. And then, you know, we got Hutch and Davenport on the edges. I'm excited. I think that it's funny. When they drafted him, I went and looked at the NFL.com's, like, who's he projected, what players he projected to be like. And it's like Aleem McNeil. And everyone's like, oh, we now have two Aleem McNeils, which is fantastic. Great player, great at just disrupting the run in the past games. And I am excited to see where this line goes. Again, I wouldn't say the defensive line definitely is don't get me wrong, it's a big part of what our defense does, but I wouldn't say that's really where they turned. We saw last year that our defense was doing well for the names we had on there, and we didn't really have much pass rush or anything. So I think that will definitely make our defense better, and especially if those guys turn out and he develops, it's going to be a fantastic D-line. So I got a few storylines that I'm just looking for throughout the season that I think will be interesting to watch and see what happens. First up is Jameson Williams, or J-Mo. If he gets the contract extension, he is the wide receiver too and had over 1,000 yards receiving last season. He is a speed demon, and there's a lot of debate online whether they should get an extension for J-Mo or not. I think with Tislaw, some people are more ready to move on from Jameson Williams, and man, it is. I don't envy Brad Holmes' job of having to make the decisions. And after next year, the cap, so the total that the team can spend on players is going to get really tight. So I hope we can get an extension from Jameson Williams. I don't know if we're going to be able to pay him what he is looking for, what he and his team and, you know, group and agent are looking for. That's definitely something to keep your eye on to see how he does, because there is a very real possibility. Everyone, like the new OC, is hyping him up, and everyone's just so excited to see what steps he's taken. He had a big step from his sophomore year to junior year, and now, you know, we're getting to his fourth year in his contract, and I think we'll keep him for a fifth-year rookie option, but I could easily see where he plays himself out of being able to play on our team, which would be sad, but man, that dude is fantastic, and it's really cool just to see how he's developed as a person. Up next, I'm excited to see Jack Campbell and his growth. He is our linebacker that we drafted in the Jahmyr Gibbs draft year, so that would have been 2022, I believe. Yep, that was the third year. I can do the math there. He's just like a stud linebacker. His RAS scores, which is like physical attributes, were just off the charts when they drafted him. And it's really been signaled that soon he is going to be the one taking over like the communications to the defense, wearing the green dot. So the coaches will talk to him, and he'll, you know, tell the team what they're doing, what plays, what formations are we running. That once Alex Anzalone leaves, which it's looking like this might be his last year in Detroit, which is sad. You know, I love Thor out there with his golden locks, but I think Jack Campbell is primed to step up into that next leadership role on the defense, and I really hope he does. And see, man, he is he has got some really good physical traits, and it's good to see him start putting everything together. And I just think he can be a monster in that defense. So before we move on, let's just talk about, you know, the new offensive and defensive coordinators. We all know Ben Johnson went to division rival Chicago Bears. He was the hottest name in coach hiring this cycle. So that, you know, it sucks that he went to a division rival. We'll still see what happens. Obviously, being a good OC, and he was fantastic for offense. He made up a lot of cool trick plays and everything. It's going to be exciting to watch the Bears, but As Lions fans know, just because you're a good coordinator doesn't always make you the best head coach. And this is really where a lot of the talking heads and national people are saying that the Lions are screwed. They lost like one of the best offensive coordinators in the game. And one thing, I think it's going to be an adjustment period for sure. But one thing a lot of people don't realize, and Jeremy Reisman over at Pride of Detroit said this, and I think it was really great. When the Lions made this offense in
2022,
there was four people that were there. It was Dan Campbell, obviously head coach is going to be in on making the offensive. Ben Johnson, he left. Jared Goff and John Mortensen. And we lost Ben Johnson, but John Mortensen is the person they brought in to fill Ben Johnson's role as the offensive coordinator. And a news report that broke yesterday I think was really cool to see is a lot of teams actually wanted John Mortensen to come and work for them. Ben Johnson reached out and say, hey, you should come to Chicago and work in my offensive. I don't know if it was a coordinator job, but people wanted him there. Sean Payton, the head coach of the Broncos, wanted him to stay in Denver. But then he was talking to his people and was like, man, if you got a job from Dan Campbell, you'd be dumb not to take it, is basically what they said. So he ended up coming and being the offensive coordinator. So like I said, I think, especially starting out with this new offensive line, it's probably going to take, you know, 3 or 4 games to really get that offensive flowing. It took that last year, too. I mean, we lost half of our regular season games in the second week when we lost to Tampa Bay. So I think there's going to be growing pains, but I don't think it's as bad as everyone is making it out to be. And then we also lost Aaron Glenn, who was the defensive coordinator that ended up going to the New York Jets. We replaced him with in-house Kelvin Shepard, who was, I think, the linebackers coach. Don't quote me on that. I don't remember which coach he is. But basically, it seems like Aaron Glenn and Dan Campbell have been, you know, training him to take over that job when Aaron Glenn inevitably went and, you know, got a head coaching job. So it sounds like they're really popping off, especially, oh my gosh, all the preseason hype is coming out for the defense. And I think what people don't realize, or what they forget because of the historic injuries last year, before Hutchinson went down with the injury, he was, not just him, but the whole Lions defense was a top 5 defense in the nation. I think week 4, I think there was a thing where they were the third best defense in the nation. So I think it sounds like he's going to be running a lot of the same things. I think the Lions have a good chance to have a top 5 defense and a top 5 offense. And with that, oh my gosh, that'll be fantastic. So I think out of the offense and defense, I think defense is not going to have as much growing pains because it was in-house and very similar to what they were doing. But I think these coordinators were fantastic choices, and I'm excited to see what they do. So going forward, obviously, like I said, I'm excited this team has the opportunity to be a top 5 offense and defenses team. So let's go on to what I think is going to be our floor and ceiling for the Detroit Lions. And I will say this is before Green Bay made that huge trade. I don't think it's going to affect the Lions too much, and I'll get to that because I will touch on that. Everyone's talking about it right now. I feel like it's just a good time, especially if you're a casual person and you're like, oh man, who's this Mike Parsons guy? Why is everyone freaking out about it? So I'll touch on that later. But the floor, I think barring any serious injury, and I'm saying serious as like, you know, Jared Goff goes down. One thing I hear a lot of people say is there's not even 32 starting quarterbacks in the league. So a lot of people are worried about backup QBs, and any team is really, if they lose their starting QB, is mostly going to be screwed. So we're discounting that. Maybe, you know, Penny Sewell goes down or Taylor Decker, one of those big tackles and everything. But for the most part, I think their floor is they're going to be they could be 9-8 and get third in the division. Now, third, I think third is in the division is the lowest they can go. I don't see them ever being fourth because honestly, with the Vikings' brand new QB hasn't played a single regular season snap, and the Bears, I don't see both of them overtaking the Lions and then also the Green Bay. So I think third, and I honestly was hesitant to put them at third in the division. I really think that could be second, but I'm kind of, you know, hedging my bets so I don't look like a total fool. So maybe I had one thing right if they do get third. I don't see anything, barring any catastrophic thing, where they get fourth. The only thing is the reason why this is a solo podcast, because I was the only one brave enough to come in here and give hot takes that could be roasted and everything. So I don't see any way that they can get fourth in the division. I think their ceiling, this is one of the toughest schedules in the league. We are playing crazy good opponents, just the divisions that we were pulled to play this year. And then we have the first first seed in division's schedule as well. And man, I think 13-4 is the ceiling there. And here's the thing. I said the ceiling was about that. Maybe I think I even put like 12 wins last year for their ceiling and they won 15. So I hope that, you know, I look the fool here. So yeah, with that 13-4, I mean, it's really hard to see, like, man, we play some really tough teams like Kansas City, you know, we got Cincinnati in there, we got the Philadelphia, there's three that are going to be really tough games right there. And the Ravens. Historically, the Lions do not do well against the Ravens. Tampa Bay is no slouch. You know, obviously we lost them last year. We'll see with the Rams, but yeah, it's going to be, and that's just out of the division. It's going to be a tough schedule. So I think if a lot of people are going to freak out, like, oh, they're 15-2 last year, it's okay. It's a new year, totally different schedule, and right now, being of the season, it's going to be tough. I think it was the third hardest schedule in the league, and one of them was like, you know, the Bears had a tougher schedule just because they played us, and you know, it's going to be rough. I hope they can beat 13-4, but we'll see. So my overall predictions, and I'm going to stick with this even after the trade. I think the Lions are going to go 11-6. They're going to be first in the division and second in the NFC behind the Eagles. Now let's talk about what I've been referencing this whole time. So the Packers, just like 3 days ago, traded for Michael Parsons, who is a top 10, top 5 defender in the league. So it's a big trade, and I think the Cowboys kind of gave him up for super cheap, but that's, you know, this is the Lions podcast, and we'll get into it. So a lot of people are freaking out about the Packers and what they got. And the Packers' defense last year was not the best. So if it's the similar thing, I'm not too worried about it. And I'm definitely not worried about it in week one because Micah Parsons has just moved into there. He's going to have like a week and a half to learn the system. I think that, you know, week one, the coach is going to be like, all right, you see ball, get ball. And he is a monster on defense, so he's going to even do something good. So while I think he'll be good, I don't think he's going to be as disruptive as he's going to be when we play him later in the season. So I'm not worried about it week one. And then we'll play the Packers. What week is this that we play him? Play him in November. So that one will definitely be the more of the test, is when Micah Parsons has time to adjust and learn their whole system and everything. And they can kind of see how their players play with them. That's going to be a big difference. And we're going to have to scheme the whole week against the Packers and just, you know, dealing with that and defense. And then obviously if we see him in the playoffs, that's going to be a whole nother animal as well. But for the most part, I think Green Bay now is definitely primed for two. I think the NFC North, because we haven't seen what J.J. McCarthy really is, and you know, being a Michigan fan, I liked him in college, but we haven't seen him play an actual NFL down yet. So I think Detroit and Green Bay are definitely fighting for that number one spot in the NFC North. But I just think the Lions have a better overall roster. And one thing, it's funny to all you people out there that are like, oh no, the Michael Parsons, you know, it's not going to be that big, which it is. I'm sorry if I'm sounds like I'm underplaying it. That was a fantastic grab for the Packers, and I hate that they got it. But I think it's funny that there's a lot of Lions fans that all offseason are like, oh, we need another edge because they don't believe in Davenport to be our second edge. Like, we need another one, And then as soon as the Packers get, they're like, ah, it's no big a deal, you know, it's just Rashawn Gary and Michael Parsons, you know, that's not huge. And they're kind of like downplaying. It's like, oh man, they're just jealous. They're jelly and salty that we didn't do that. But yeah, when's the last time the Packers beat the Lions? It was 2 years ago or something, right? We'll see. There's a good chance they can. I think out of those four, I think if we're going to lose to an NFC North opponent, it's going to be Green Bay. We'll see about the Minnesota. I mean, I'm not going to discount Kevin O'Connell. He's also a great head coach and really good with quarterbacks. And then I don't think we lose to the Bears week two. I think Ben Johnson's also going to – the Bears also have a lot of growing pains, just their new coaching staff and everything, a lot of new players. But we'll see about we play the last week against the Bears at Soldier Field, so that'll be interesting. But, 11-6 is where I think the Lions are going to be. So let's get into what I would consider a disappointing or sad season. I know there's a lot of people that are like Super Bowl or bust just getting there. And would I be disappointed if we didn't get the Super Bowl? Yes, obviously our window is now, but I don't think that means that the year is wasted if we don't. But since this is quote unquote our time, it will be sad if we don't make the Super Bowl, but I don't think that's going to mean it's a wasted season. What I think would make this season a letdown is if they don't win one playoff game. That's where the Lions are at. They are expected to make the playoffs, even though Vegas and people are tripping when they say the Lions is the most best team to miss the playoffs this year. They're crazy. They're tripping. Maybe if we got 9-8, but that's the floor. I think just that it's, you know, we've made it to the playoffs the past 2 years, and arguably maybe... Realistically, we probably should have went to the playoffs 3 years ago, but, you know, hey, freaking yeah, we don't need to bring up that Rams-Seahawks game. That was just atrocious. But it would be sad to not win that playoff game. This is like, you know, especially because our culture is so on just like winning and everything, and just the sheer amount of talent that, you know, the general manager has made in this team, that I think it will be disappointing if the Lions don't win a playoff game. So to me, that's really the only way this season's disappointing, if we make it to the playoffs. And even if it's a wild card game, if we win a wild card game and then lose the next week, yeah, I'll be sad, but at least we won another playoff game. That's, you know, for so long that was this franchise goalpost history, that, you know, they haven't won a playoff game in 30 some odd years. And I think it'd be sad if, you know, it's another 1991, we win one playoff game, and then it's another 30-year drought. Don't think it's going to happen, but for me, that's what, this will be a good season. I won't feel like a wasted season if we win a playoff game. One last thing I want to add about John Mortensen is that we were 15-0 in games where Jared Goff threw less than 40 passes, and we were 1-3, including the playoffs, on games where he threw 40 or more passes. And John Mortensen is very run-heavy if you look at his track record, a lot more willing to run. I feel like Ben Johnson seemed to get away from that, especially in the close games when, if you go look at the score, they're a lot closer until the end, that we should have just kept on running the ball, but we kept on throwing it. And obviously, there's some math there that's saying, hey, maybe Jared Goff shouldn't be throwing 40 throws a game. We have a fantastic running back duo. Let's, you know, let them, you know, burn out some clock and just wear down the other defense. So, those are my quick thoughts on how the Lions season might go. Let me know how crazy I am down in the comments below. Or if you're in, you know, Spotify or Apple Podcast, you can also check down there. Roast me down there. Hey, I'm all for it. This is sports talk. You know, everyone has their hot takes. I for one, am one of them. I'm usually more optimistic than some people, but definitely there are, you know, things that can mess up this Lions season. But I'm excited for it. Let me know what you guys think what your prediction for the season is. Do you think they're going to win 11 games? Yes, no? I guess we'll set the over-under at 10.5. Do they win more than 10.5 games this year? Over-under. Let me know down in the comments below. If you guys enjoyed this, like I said, let us know. So this is something we should do. We should make more solo podcasts and more, you know, specialized in, you know, sports and everything. But other than that, thank you all for listening. If you're watching on YouTube, please give us a like, comment, subscribe. If you're on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, give us a 5-star review, read it off on the podcast. And next week, we'll be back to a regularly scheduled program. But thank you all for listening and staying in this far, even if you just had the YouTube video muted. Catch you guys next time. Peace.